Thanks for leading, Andy. I like that song. That's one of the ones towards the top of my list. Thanks, Herb, for the sermonette, too. I hope people will find it goes well with the topic that I'm going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about something that God tells us to dwell on the Sabbath day. It's a topic that is near and dear to my heart because I've noticed its impact in my life lately. Most of what we're going to cover is going to be in the Old Testament, but we're going to end the topic with the Apostle Peter in the New Testament. Oh, and it's something found in the Ten Commandments. So have I got you curious yet? Are you hooked in? Well, let's go to Deuteronomy 5, and let's look at what we're talking about in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. The command in Deuteronomy to keep the Sabbath. That's where we find this. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, and we'll read through verse 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So we see here in the command to keep the Sabbath is restated here in Deuteronomy. We constantly dwell on the fact that we're to do no work, that we all know none of us are working, so we can check that box. But also we see in verse 15 that there's several things that we're supposed to speak about on the Sabbath. We're supposed to remember that we were a slave in the land of Egypt, and remember the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. So that's what we're going to talk about today in the message. It's a Sabbath message that we learn here in the Sabbath command in Deuteronomy, that we should be talking about on the Sabbath day. Today we're going to talk about God's mighty hand and outstretched arm. So that's what we're going to talk about. The title of my sermonette today, if you like titles, and as Robert can attest to, my titles can be kind of long, so get ready. The Mighty Hand and the Outstretched Arm of God, a Sabbath Lesson for Us All. The Mighty Hand and the Outstretched Arm of God, a Sabbath Lesson for Us All. See, this command is here in Deuteronomy in the command to keep the Sabbath for all of us. It wasn't just for the nation of Israel at the giving of the Ten Commandments. It's outside the scope of this message, but we need to discuss a couple concepts and understand how we as Christians can relate to this commandment here to remember that we were delivered out of Egypt with God's mighty hand and outstretched arm. If you're taking notes, you might jot down Galatians 3, verses 7 through 9. This is one of three scriptures that I'll just reference and read that talk about how we, as Christians and believers in Jesus Christ, are sons of Abraham. So we are the New Testament Israel. That's Galatians 3, verses 7 through 9. It states, "Therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God, who would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all nations shall be blessed,' so that those who are of faith are blessed with believing in Abraham." Similarly, Romans 2, verses 28 and 29 states, and I'm just going to read it, For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcised that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcised that is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. One more, Romans 9, verses 7 through 8. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So we see through those three scriptures that we are spiritual Israel. So this concept of remembering that we were redeemed from Egypt with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand are applicable to us, and we'll talk about it throughout this sermon. We understand that Satan's way is represented by Egypt. You can reference that in Revelation 11, verse 8 on your own time if you want. And we know that Israel, being delivered out of bondage, is a representation of our deliverance being represented, of us being delivered from this dying satanic world through the redemption of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. These are themes that we review every spring holy day around the Passover, and I look forward to that season that's coming up when we'll review those topics again. So, when we read here that we are to keep the Sabbath day and remember that God brought us out from slavery by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, these are concepts that are applicable to us, and we're supposed to remember these themes every Sabbath. I don't want to diminish the spiritual lessons that we talk about and rehearse on this in the spring holy day, but the majority of my sermon today is going to be talking about this mighty hand and this outstretched arm in your life and how it's been viewed physically. See, God physically saves us with his outstretched hand, or his outstretched arm and his mighty hand. Think of all the potential accidents that perhaps you were in, where a deer could have gone through your windshield, but it just grazed your fender. Think of deadly diseases that have happened, that have been around you, but haven't hit you. See, we all know, as God's people, that God does give us that special protection, and we need to be dwelling on that, and that's what this message is going to be about. So it's one of the lessons that we need to talk about and we need to dwell on the Sabbath. See, whether we realize it or not, God has mightily intervened in our lives at one point or another, miraculously. And we need to acknowledge those physical miracles. We need to dwell on the physical miracles that God provides for us, in addition to the overarching concepts that are applicable spiritual in the spring holy days. We'll conclude this sermon with Peter's instruction on this topic, and we'll see that the physical and the spiritual are related and go together. But we'll conclude the message there. Before we make it to Peter's scriptures, we're going to learn about the mighty hand of God and the outstretched arm of God. We're going to learn what the mighty hand and the outstretched arm have done in the Bible. We're going to see what the mighty hand and the outstretched arm have done in the Bible. We're going to learn four lessons that God wants us to learn from the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. We're going to see that God wants us to teach each other about this topic. We're going to see an example of giving thanks to God for the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. And we're going to look at examples of God's servants praying to God for this mighty hand and this outstretched arm. And then finally, we'll see what Peter says on the topic. So you're probably looking at that going, "Whoo, you better get into it." So let's get into it. Let's first learn about what God's mighty hand and outstretched arm have been recorded as doing in the Bible. This will help us understand how powerful God's mighty hand and outstretched arm are. Let's all turn to Jeremiah 32 and look at this together. Jeremiah 32, and we'll read verses 16 and 17. And be on the lookout for two great things that the Lord's mighty hand and outstretched arm do here. In Jeremiah 32, verses 16 and 17. Now when I had delivered the purchase... Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. So we see here that Jeremiah attributes God's mighty outstretched arm to the force of creation. Think of it. Think that all the power God put into the creation, creating the earth, creating the whole universe, it's just an incredible, powerful force that we can't even calculate how much power it takes to create the universe. Now let's read verses 18 through 22. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Verse 20, you have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day, and in Israel and among other men, and you have made yourself a name as it is this day. Verse 21, you have brought out your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm and great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. So here we see the reason, the power of God's outstretched arm and mighty hand that was given to us in the Sabbath command. And that is that he brought Israel out of the land of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm with great terror. So that too took an incredible amount of power for those 10 plagues and to lead Israel with the pillar of fire and the cloud and separating the Red Sea. It's just an incredible power. This is the type of godly power that we are talking about in this message. The power that creates universes, worlds, peoples, and animals. The type of power that miraculously took Israel out of Egypt. And the type of power that can create all things that we see. Let's turn to Ezekiel 20 right quick, and we'll see a third work that God's mighty hand and outstretched arm are going to be attributed to doing in Ezekiel 20. Let's read Ezekiel 20, and we'll start in verse 33. And we'll read verses 33 and 34. And so this is talking about the future time when God will bring all the lost tribes out of the world as we know it, and gather them together at the beginning of the millennial period. As I live, says the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out. Let's drop down to verse 37. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Verse 40. For on my holy mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, says the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all of the land shall serve me. There I will accept them, and there I will require your offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifices together with all your holy things. So we see that God's mighty hand and outstretched arm in verse 34 are going to gather all the lost tribes of Israel at the start of the millennium back to his holy mountain, and he will enter into a new covenant with them at that time. You don't have to turn there, but Jeremiah 27 and verse 5 also mentions these powerful works of God, of the mighty hand and outstretched arm. It connects those topics together in Jeremiah 27 verse 5. It states, I have made the earth, the man, and the beasts that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm. I have given it to whom seems proper to me. So when we talk about the power that we're talking about in this sermon, we're talking about that mighty hand and that outstretched arm that created the heavens, the earth, and that all that in them is. The same power that freed Israel from captivity, and the same power that disposes mighty kings and gives nations to whomever God pleases. Brethren, this is the power that we are physically talking about in this message today. So that's the power that is in this mighty hand and outstretched arm. Now let's talk about four lessons that God shows us through this mighty power. We're going to talk about four lessons God shows us through this mighty power. Let's look at the first lesson together in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 30. Deuteronomy 4, and we'll read verses 30 through 32. And we're breaking into where Moses is telling the Israelites how to act and how to behave when they enter the promised land. This is verse 30. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is merciful and will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget your covenant of your fathers, which he swore. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, and since that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like this has been heard. So God is wanting to demonstrate his power, and he's wanting Israel to put his trust in them. Let's look at verse 33 through 35. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you've heard and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm? And by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God, that there is no other besides him. And Robert, or sound booth, I'm about to blow my nose, so you might want to turn me down right quick. We did that kind of successfully. So we see in verse 35 here, to you it was shown about the mighty hand and the outstretched arm in verse 34. To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God and there is no other beside him. So he gives us the lesson right here. God is showing Israel his might, so that they might know that the Lord is God, and there's no one else beside him. Brethren, God uses this power in our life, too, to physically deliver us. And when God does this mightily, he is teaching us that the Lord is God and there is no other beside him. So we need to reflect on the miracles in our life, the ones where God has delivered us mightily. We need to realize this powerful, that this is a power that God uses on our behalf, because there is no God beside God in our life. Let's look at a related second lesson from this power. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 7, verse 17, a few pages. And we'll read verses 17 through 21. If ye should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Ye shall not be afraid of them, but ye shall remember well with the Lord your what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, these signs and these wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until there are none left, who hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God is great, for the great and awesome God is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. So we see here that God promises that he will remove the nations miraculously for Israel, and they should not be afraid because the mighty hand and the outstretched arm have already been demonstrated to them out of Egypt, and they should remember that. So that is lesson number fear. Two, do not fear other nations and people. We learn from the scripture that we are not to fear other nations and people. And also, this lesson comes with a promise embedded in the lesson not to fear. The lesson states that God will use the mighty hand and the outstretched arm on anyone that Israel is afraid of. Look at that in verse 19. This comes with a promise that God will use this mighty hand and outstretched arm with anyone that Israel is afraid of in verse 19. So in that promise, we can realize and believe in something incredible. God didn't just use the outstretched arm and mighty hand once or twice in world history. He doesn't just do it on a global scene. God promises this to his people, Israel, as a resource for God's people whenever they fear a trial. Brethren, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm is a wonderful saving resource for God's people. And like Mr. Clardy said, in those seasons that are our lowest and most fearful, we need to remember this mighty outstretched arm and mighty hand. God uses it, and he intervenes for his people as he sees fit. So, brethren, we cannot fear men and nations and the terrifying things that are going to happen to us. Like we heard, there could be some sober things that are going to happen in the future prior to Christ's return. There's some scary prophecies in the Bible. Babylon, false religion, the king of the north, the king of the south. But we as God's people cannot fear that future. We have the power of creation, the power of deliverance through miracles of signs and wonders, the power that dispossesses kings on our side. If God chooses to intervene on our behalf, he will do so mightily. Andy and I were just talking before services of the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're a wonderful example here of how they went against the biggest kingdom of their time, and they did not fear. Now let's look at a couple more lessons that the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of God teaches us over a few verses, starting in Deuteronomy 6, and we'll read Deuteronomy 7, so stay here in Deuteronomy 7, we'll read verses 6 through 8. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to his fathers. So we see here in verse 8, I need to finish reading before we can see that. Let's start back at verse 8. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to his fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So we see here in verse 8 a third lesson, and that is that God loves his people and he honors his oath or his promises to his people. And he does so with the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. God demonstrates that mighty hand and outstretched arm to show that he loves his people and he honors his oath or his promises to his people. So when we're in those low, fearful moments, think of the promises of God. Remember Matthew 7:11. It states, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Remember what we just covered on God's promise to cover Israel when they're afraid. We can lean on those promises because God honors his oath and he loves us. So, brethren, we need to dwell on these four lessons of the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of God. The mighty power of God that we're discussing is awesome. There are no other gods besides God. We don't have to fear man and his governments because God loves us and he honors his promises to us. Now, let's look at a command where Moses told the nation of Israel to teach others about the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. We're going to look at where Moses told Israel to teach others about the mighty hand and the outstretched arm over in Deuteronomy 6. So, you guys should give me a bonus for keeping all my scriptures right here together. Deuteronomy 6, and we'll read verses 20 through 25. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he commanded us. See, in this preparatory section of teaching and learning about how life was going to be in the promised land, we see here that they were supposed to teach their children about the mighty hand and the outstretched arm in verse 21. They were supposed to learn about the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. And they were supposed to teach that to their children. So one of the important lessons that us parents can learn that we do need to teach our children how mighty and awesome God is. We need to be telling them about the miracles in our life, and we need to be teaching this lesson to others too. It's a lesson that confirms our faith in God, and it has implications both spiritually and physically. We need to relate the miracles we see in our lives to others. In addition to teaching and telling others about God's physical and spiritual salvation in our lives through the mighty hand and outstretched arm, we need to be giving God thanks for this awesome power in our lives. We need to give God thanks for the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. Let's look at that over in Psalms 136. Psalms 136. And we'll start in Psalms 136, verse 1, and I'll read through verse 12, and then we'll go to the last verse there, 26. So, starting in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him, for him who by wisdom made the heavens, and I'm going to start skipping the for his mercy endures forever, but you can just read that in your head. So verse 5, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters, to him who made great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and stars by night, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. Drop down to verse 26, oh, give thanks to the God of the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. We see in this psalm that the psalmist did something here that we've discussed, and that is he connected the powerful acts that God's mighty hand and outstretched arm have been recorded as doing in the Bible. We see here that the psalmist connected creation with the deliverance of Egypt the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. We see that in the way the psalm is constructed. And God mentions that it was done by his mighty hand and outstretched arm. So, how often do we thank God for the miraculous things that he has done in our life? Those really big miracles. How often do we thank God for the mighty hand and the outstretched arm in our life, both physically and spiritually? Brethren, it is worth giving God the thanks for this in our life. And as Thanksgiving approaches next week, ask yourself, have I ever given God thanks for the outstretched arm and the mighty hand of God and that salvation that he gives us spiritual and physical in my life? If not, this is the season of Thanksgiving in America, and it's a good time to get started on this habit. This brings us to our next point, that we need to be reminding God of his mighty hand and outstretched arm when we go to God in prayer. We need to be reminding God of his mighty hand and outstretched arm when we go to God in prayer. Solomon actually prayed for foreigners who recognized the mighty hand and outstretched arm to have their prayers answered. It's kind of an interesting little side concept on this. Let's go ahead and read that over in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 32 and 33. 2 Chronicles 6. Verses 32 and 33. And so we're breaking into a passage of scripture here that where Solomon is dedicating the temple and he's praying for blessings and for the temple to run smoothly. And so we'll start in verse 32, 2 Chronicles 6. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country, for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls you, that all people of the earth may know that your name, may know your name and fear you, as you do your people Israel, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. So we see here in verse 32 that foreigners, Solomon recognized the fact that foreigners are going to realize the power of God's mighty hand and outstretched arm. Well, one way that can happen is directly, if the foreigners directly saw the miracles from their camps on the side. But another way that could have happened is if God's people were telling those foreigners, the slaves and the foreigner within their gates, of God's mighty hand and outstretched arm. So a part of the fruit of telling others is that others come to God because of the works that he has done in other people's life with this mighty hand and outstretched arm. And we see Solomon praying to God, asking for those prayers to be answered. More directly to this point, though, the Bible records both Moses and Daniel addressing God in prayer about his mighty hand and outstretched arm. And in all three instances of the recorded prayers, there are prayers where either Moses or Daniel are trying to persuade God to take action in a certain manner. So both Moses and Daniel used the topic of the mighty hand and the outstretched arm to try to talk God into doing something the way that they wanted God to do it. We won't go into Moses' prayers. Moses' prayers are mentioned in Deuteronomy 9, verse 29. In Deuteronomy 3, verse 24, and for those keeping score, Moses' record is 50-50. God answered his prayer on one of them, and he did not on the other one. I'll let you do your own study on that. So this is not a silver bullet or some special secret thing that we're going to get all our prayers answered. It has to be in accordance with God's will. But Moses was 50-50 on those prayers. Daniel's prayer is quite outstanding, and we'll turn to that, and we'll read it, and we'll talk about it. Daniel prays this over in Daniel 9. Will everyone turn to Daniel 9 with me? So we're breaking into a section of scripture here where Daniel is praying for his people, and he really wants his people to return to Jerusalem from their exile in Babylon. He's praying a prayer that you can tell is repentant and mournful and very fervent. And we're going to pick up that prayer, and we'll read verses here in Daniel 9. We'll read verses 3 through 5, and then 13 through 19. So starting in verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord to make request by praying and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, and I said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Skip down to verse 13, and we'll read verses 13, 19. So we see that's the context of this script, this prayer. So he continues, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept this disaster in mind and brought this upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Verse 15, And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. So we see him call out God's mighty hand here. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication for the Lord's sake. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear, open your eyes, see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And we see here in verse 15, Daniel relates the people that are called by his name due to that mighty hand. What's incredibly interesting about this and relevant to this message, that as soon as Daniel reminds God that Israel is his people, redeemed by God's almighty hand, the angel Gabriel shows up and delivers Daniel the 70 weeks prophecy. So Daniel receives the 70 weeks prophecy right after he says these words in his prayer. Let's look at that over in Daniel 9, verse 20 through 23. So picking up in Daniel 9, verse 20. And if you've got headings like my Bible does, it says the 70-week prophecy. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man, or angel, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. So we see here that Gabriel then gives Daniel the vision of the 70 weeks prophecy. And we all know that the 70 weeks prophecy is one of the most complete and interesting prophecies in the Bible. And in that revelation, Daniel receives word in verse 23 Daniel receives word through this prophecy that his people will go back to Jerusalem. So he will, in part, know that he's getting what he was asking for there. And we see in verse 23, at the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you. We see that Gabriel was sent to Daniel with this incredible prophecy because God told him to go out at the beginning of the supplications, which we have recorded here. Well, those supplications that we have recorded here are Daniel talking about God's mighty hand. Brethren, we too need to be in the habit of reminding God that we are his people, and that we do look to him for our deliverance, and we do recognize that he has delivered us in the past with his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. It doesn't always happen, but when we do this in prayer, sometimes really big things happen in prayer for God's people. It happened for Daniel here with the revelation of the 70 weeks prophecy. And this is where this message gets a little personal for me. As all of you know, my job was impacted by the government shutdown for 43 days, from October 1st to November 13th. And as the shutdown started, prior to it beginning, I started meditating about God's outstretched arm. And I started praying about God's outstretched arm in prayer. And as many of you know, and I'm here to tell you, God did deliver me and my family mightily through this period of no wages for our family. It should have been a period, like Herb was talking about in the sermonette, Mr. Clardy, of a really lean period for us, but it wasn't. And I believe that was done in part because God was hearing my prayers for the outstretched arm. So it's quite incredible. God took incredible care of us during the shutdown, and I think in part it has to do with my meditations and prayers on this topic. But like Moses points out, it's not a silver bullet. It has to be in accordance to God's will. Finally, brethren, let's look and see what Peter says about this concept for us today, for us Christians. Will everyone turn to 1 Peter 5 with me? We're going to read 1 Peter 5 through 11. First Peter 5, starting in verse 5. So Peter starts talking off about how different groups of people should be treating each other in the church, and then transitions his topic. So we'll start in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We see here that Peter directs our walk with God with the mighty hand, as we see in verse 6 here. That mighty hand we must be in humility under, that God may exalt us in due time. And we see physically that Peter is relating this concept to us physically. He tells us to cast our cares upon God, for he cares for us. And we also see that Peter connects this spiritually too. In verse 10 it says, we might have to suffer for a while under our physical trials, but God's mighty hand is in our life. We are being perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. This concept of God's mighty hand applies to us physically and spiritually, and Peter talks about both aspects of that here in this short section of Scripture. This process will happen by God's almighty hand, our process of conversion and deliverance. It's the same power that created the mountains and disposed Pharaoh and liberated Egypt. This process happens to us physically, but also spiritually. The God of grace has called us to be his eternal glory, to be a part of his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, by submitting to him and walking in our calling and ultimately coming to the resurrection. That same mighty hand that created the angels and the spirit realm is making a son or daughter of God in you through his plan of salvation. Peter connects the saving power of the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of God both physically and spiritually here. The scripture says we need to submit to God Almighty, that we need to submit to the Almighty hand in humility with our fellow Christians via this process. It's for both our physical and spiritual salvation. So 1 Peter 5 teaches us here that this concept is more than just the physical. It's no longer a concept of just physical salvation. It's our physical and spiritual salvation. Brethren, God's mighty hand and outstretched arm is the very power that created the physical universe. It's the power that delivered Israel out of Egypt. It's the power that disposes kings when God needs to change a physical government. It's the power that will bring the lost tribes back to Mount Zion at the beginning of the millennium. This awesome and mighty delivering power is available to us. This awesome power is physical and spiritual deliverance for us, and it teaches us that there is no God besides God, that we should not be afraid of men and physical governments or power of man. It shows us that God loves us and that he honors his oaths and his promises to us. We acknowledge God's power in the lessons when we talk about this delivering might of the mighty hand of God and the outstretched arm of God to others, when we relate what we've seen physically and spiritually in our lives. It's something we're supposed to talk to others about. It's something we're supposed to meditate on the Sabbath. We need to give thanks to God for this awesome power of deliverance within our own lives. Sometimes God has mightily answered prayers when he has been reminded of this concept in prayer. And Peter shows us that the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of God is relevant to our Christian walk with God from a physical and spiritual perspective. Brethren, may we all start talking about the mighty hand and outstretched arm of God in our lives and all the wonders that God has done in our lives with that power.